Good morning, everybody, or actually, sorry, good afternoon. I'm probably not going to use this mic too much. I'm a pretty loud guy, so I think that you guys will be able to hear me okay. All right, let's check the clicker. All right, just wanted to introduce myself to you guys. Yesterday, I was here for the youth fellowship, and it was a really cool time hanging out with some of the youth. We played some games. We had a bit of a devotional. I introduced myself to them, but I know that today there was going to be a different crowd. So as I said, my name is Christian. This is my wife, Christine. Unfortunately, she was not able to join me today, but she sends her regards. She is half Chinese, half Korean. I've been married to her now for 16 years. Our son, Isaiah, he is 5.5 years old, and he is a full ball of energy. He keeps us very busy, but we have a lot of fun with him. I just wanted to play a quick game with you guys. Okay. So, truth or a lie? And I know we're in church, so technically we're not, you know, gonna lie. But one of these things is true, one of these things are not. And I want to see what you guys think, okay, about me. So, I just obviously introduced you. I am a son, I'm a husband, I'm a father. Which one of these things do you think is true or not true? I'm Italian, and I enjoy playing pickleball. Okay? Who says that I'm Italian? That is true. Okay? We got a good number of people. Who says I'm Italian? That's the lie. Should be the opposite, right? Okay? And who thinks that I enjoy playing pickleball? That's true. All right? And then obviously the other side is you believe I don't play pickleball. So the actual truth is I'm Italian. So my dad is part black, part Portuguese, and part Italian. And my mom is full Kashmir Indian, born and raised in a place called Jamaica. And so I have 1/8 Italian. I've only actually played pickleball 2 times. It's a great sport, but I wouldn't say that I enjoy it. I think I prefer ping pong over pickleball, but pickleball, I think it's an up-and-coming sport. It's a lot of fun, and if you've played it, you will know it's a great game. I did enjoy the 2 times I played it, but not something that I would do regularly. Okay? Today's message, I wanted to talk about fear not. We sang some pretty cool songs during worship, but God put this message on my heart. I was just asking and praying to God, okay, if this was my only Sunday to come and speak and share with you guys, what would the message be? And I believe that God put this message on my heart to share with you guys. But before we get into the message, something I like to do a lot of times is just to pray before we study God's word. Because we want to believe that God's word, it's going to work in our hearts, it's going to transform us, and it's going to make us to look more like Jesus after we are done here today. Okay, so if you could please bow your heads and join me in prayer. I'm just going to pray over us before we get into the message. Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much for this time that we have to hear your word. God, we know that your word is alive. It's powerful. It has the ability to expose what is true and what is false in our life. It has the ability to reveal to us what is right and what is wrong. And so, God, this is not just me standing here preaching a message, but I believe, God, that it is your words that you want to share with us here today. So I ask that you would speak through me. I am simply your vessel, And I pray that you would open all of our ears, all of our hearts to hear and receive your truth. I pray that as I speak and as I share, that Holy Spirit, you would anoint my lips and anoint my words. That what I share and what I say, may it not be my own words, but may it come from you. And may we leave here today transformed and changed and looking more like your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I came to this church and I visited about 2 weeks ago. And my brother Andrew, he was sharing about all the different things that were happening in the world. That there were a lot of, you know, things taking place in our culture, in our society, and even around the world. And when we think about that, currently, if we watch the news, if we go on social media and we just scroll through, if we read the newspaper, if that's still a thing, I know definitely not for young people, but if we read the newspaper, there are a lot of things that are happening in our world. And whether we listen to these things or we read about these things or we even scroll through social media, it's easy to become overwhelmed by fear and anxiety. If we take time to understand what is currently happening in the world, we understand that there is currently a war happening between Russia and Ukraine. This is taking place, and it has been taking place over the last year. We also understand that there is a war happening right now between Israel and Hamas. And if we know our Bible, if we know what Revelation talks about, anytime Israel is involved in a war or a conflict, it is something that we should be paying attention to as Christians. Because Jesus says that it is in Israel and Jerusalem where things are going to start taking place towards his second coming. We understand that currently we have entered into a trade war. Sorry, my clicker went super fast there. We are in a trade war between ourselves, Canada, and the U.S. And this is affecting so many different things. It's affecting inflation. It's affecting our prices of groceries. Just the other day, I went and I think I saw that tomatoes were like $2.99. For one tomato. I've never paid $2.99 for one tomato. And so I'm just more mindful of groceries for the young people. You will get there when you go and you do your own grocery shopping. But inflation is something that is happening around us. Something I didn't share with you guys, but my full-time job is I work with the Toronto Police. Okay, Toronto, that's the city on the other side of Mississauga. Maybe you guys have been there, maybe not. But I come from a place called Scarborough. But I work full-time with the Toronto Police, and I deal with a lot of evidence. I deal with a lot of property. And any time that I have read or seen reports about crime analytics, crime is on the rise. We can see that there are so many different crimes that are taking place, specifically in the city of Toronto. That's what I know about. Whether it be car thefts or break and enters or whatever the case may be, crime is on the rise. So you may be thinking, okay, Christian, what does that have to do with me? I'm in grade 7. I'm in high school. Inflation, crime, trade wars, all these different things, it doesn't really affect me. Okay, well, for the young people, there are some different things that might bring about some fears in your life, right? And when we talk about being overwhelmed by fear, well, for the young people, what about meeting certain expectations? There are so many expectations placed on you as young people, whether it be with school, whether it be with your future career, There are different expectations, different things that are expected of you as you go through your life. There's this new thing called FOMO, which I'm learning more about, right? The fear of missing out. When I have different conversations with some young people, some of them, they want to be so involved in what's happening in their friendship circles. They don't want to miss out on what is taking place, or there's this fear that they'll be excluded from a group chat or from an activity or from a social event. And this creates some fear and anxiety in young people. This fear of missing out, this fear of not being involved in what others are doing. Well, there's also another fear. There's this fear of not fitting in or being accepted. This is something that is really affecting young people. It's also known as rejection. That there is a fear of not being accepted. There's a fear of rejection. What if all my friends don't accept me and my differences and for who I am? What if my friends think differently of me because I am a Christian? Or because I stand for different values than they do? Or I don't share in all of the things that they want? There is this fear of not fitting in or being accepted. So all around us, we just sang the song, right? Fear. We have a real enemy. Well, fear actually comes from our enemy. That all these things happening in the world, if we are having feelings of fear, well, it's because that is what Satan wants us to be experiencing. But fear is not something that God wants for us. If we actually understand the definition of fear and what fear is, it's defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Okay, fear is, it's an uneasy emotion. It's an unpleasant emotion. But here's the key word, the belief. What are we believing in? Where is our trust? Where is our foundation? What are the things that are causing us to fear and have these feelings of fear? Well, we need to understand, first of all, there is a healthy fear. And these are some things that we need to remember. There is a reverent fear according to the Bible. This is a fear of God. And this is a healthy fear. Okay, what this word reverent means, it means that, you know, that even as we gather right here, right now as a church, as we sang songs and as we are hearing God's word and as we are fellowshipping together, the Bible says that this is a very sacred and important time. That this is something that we are to approach with reverence. We are not just meant to come in to a gathering or a church service and forget who it is that we're singing to, or who it is that we are listening to, or who it is that we want to know. I hope that for all of us today, we're here because of our relationship with God, and we are approaching Him with the utmost reverence. This is a healthy fear, to have reverence for God. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, the reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping Him and regarding Him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of wisdom. So what is the foundation of wisdom? What is the foundation of growing in our knowledge of Christ and in our relationship with Christ? Well, it's first, do we have a reverent fear of God? Do we understand that our life is not just meant to be lived for our own pleasure. But God says some things about our life and how we should be living. And are we choosing what God wants over what we want? This is the beginning of wisdom. This is a healthy fear. But there is also an unhealthy fear. And this is the type of fear that causes us to feel and think outside of the peace that God intends for us. An unhealthy fear. When we see situations and circumstances happening around us, an unhealthy fear is a fear that brings a level of overwhelming emotion where we are no longer experiencing the peace of God in our life. And we need to understand the difference. Anything that causes us to live in fear is not from God. It is from our enemy, Satan and his kingdom. A fear that causes us to be overwhelmed to a point of despair, it is not from God, but it is from our enemy. This is pretty cool. When we actually look at the Bible, the phrase "do not be afraid" or variations like "fear not," it appears 365 times in the Bible. Anytime Jesus has encouraged his disciples, "fear not." Anytime he's encouraged us as his church, "don't be afraid, fear not, don't worry." It's said 365 times in the Bible. Essentially, we could have one daily reminder of God's reassurance and encouragement not to fear anything in this life, but to live boldly and courageously for him. These are some examples of Bible verses where it says, "do not be afraid." And we just read one during worship. Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." We can be encouraged by God's words. We do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be discouraged. God is our strength. He is our help. He will be the one who is able to sustain us in times of trouble. Another verse is John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding." How often do we hear, you know, as we journey through life, there's going to be problems. We're going to have trouble in this life. There's going to be some difficult times. Everything in our Christian journey is not necessarily about having everything that we want. Our brother Joshua, he just prayed for people whose quality of life is not as well as ours around the world. We need to understand that this word suffering, we don't like to hear that word in church a lot of times. Because what Jesus is saying is that not everything is going to be great all the time. Even as Christians, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to Christians. Difficult situations happen to Christian brothers and sisters. If we follow the news, 70 Christians were beheaded this past week. Or sorry, even not this past week, It was last week. They were beheaded in Africa. You see, these types of things are happening around the world. We just don't hear about it that often. Or either we choose not to pay attention to the suffering and persecution that is happening to the church around the world. But Jesus says, and this is an encouragement for us, it's an encouragement for all of the Christians around the world who are facing persecution. Do not be afraid. Do not be troubled. We will have difficulties in this life. But who has overcome the world? Christ has overcome the world. Right? And maybe for some of you, you think, well, my only difficulty right now is making sure I pass my math test on Tuesday. That's still a challenge, right? But God will get us to a place where we are going to graduate and we are going to grow in our faith. And some things happen in our life because it's meant to grow us in our faith. And so that we are not living in fear. This is important to remember. And a click, sorry. Oftentimes we get consumed by fear when our focus is off of God and His truth. And instead we focus on the situations or circumstances around us. Sorry, I'm going to go back one more. When we start to believe our own negative thoughts and listen to the voices around us more than God, this is when we are in danger of being overwhelmed by fear. And what I'm sharing with you guys is I'm not saying that at times we won't feel these emotions or these real emotions of fear in our lives. But here's the encouragement. With God's help, we don't need to let certain negative thoughts or feelings or emotions consume us to the point of despair or ineffectiveness for Christ's mission. Where fear has become so overwhelming in our life that we're not making choices anymore to honor Christ and His mission and what He wants for us. And I have an example of this within my own life. You know, we just went through COVID a couple years ago, right? And as people were going through COVID, you know, when I talked to different people were dealing with it in different ways. There were some people who were like super fearful and they didn't want to leave their house. They didn't want to go out. They didn't want to go to the grocery store. And some other people are just like, well, COVID, it's not that bad. It won't bother me. It won't affect me. And they just lived their life normally. And they did everything as they normally did. Without any mask and, you know, just freely. Right? But when we went through COVID, there were so many different messages, especially from media, where it said, hey, you shouldn't gather with certain people. You shouldn't get together with certain people. That there was this sense of fear that came over a lot of people because there were these feelings and these thoughts that, you know, we were going to get sick, and for some that they thought they were going to pass away. It was during this season where, right in the middle of COVID, I felt that God had called me and my family to go on a long-term mission trip. We wanted to take our 2-year-old son and go to Jamaica for 2 months. Because we had been building some really good relationships with the youth there. We were discipling them. And then COVID happened. And then everybody said, well, don't travel. You shouldn't travel. You shouldn't be going anywhere. But we just felt this conviction by God that we wanted the mission to continue. And so we made the choice that even in the midst of COVID, we were going to find a way to travel to Jamaica and go on this mission trip. Now, the interesting thing about that, or the interesting part about that, is that there were so many voices around us. We had family members who were saying, how can you do this? How can you take your son and go on a plane and take him to a foreign country during COVID? It's very irresponsible of you to do that and to risk your life in that way. We had some other voices that were cheering us on and saying, yeah, you can do it. That would be great if you are able to do that. We will be praying for you. We will be with you, whatever you need. But it's funny, when we heard these two different voices, the ones that were really getting to me personally were the voices of concern. And I just felt this overwhelming fear and this doubt and this kind of uneasiness to be like, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Started to second guess and like, what if my son Isaiah does die or pass away? You go through all these different thoughts. It's not a peace that comes from God, but it's really just a journey. It's a process. I felt it was also partly an attack from our enemy, Satan. But working through all of it, there was one specific moment where I was just praying with God. And God said very specifically, and I heard his voice. There's not often times where I will hear his voice so clearly, but this specific time I did. And he just said to me, what do you have to doubt? And that was it. What do you have to doubt? And as I thought about those words, God kept bringing to mind all the times in my life where he was faithful and where he took care of us. And all those feelings of fear slowly diminished. But it's the voices that are around us. If our focus is off of God and off of his truth and off of his word, and then all those voices around us that are telling us something different, that we can't, or how can we, or it's too scary. And if we allow those voices to consume us, then we really don't take any bold steps for Christ. We don't really exercise our faith in a real way. And when we went on that mission trip, 6 youth gave their life to Jesus, got water baptized in the Bible study that we were having. And since 2021, when we went on that trip up until now, those same youth have been some of the youth who have went on to teach VBSs and to continue to grow in their knowledge of the Word of God and continue to increase in their relationship with Jesus and their faith. And God just reminded me that if we didn't make the most of that opportunity, it would have been a missed opportunity for his work to be done. That's my story. But what's your story? Is there any type of fear that is holding you back from making a bold step for Jesus? Is there anything that is keeping you just right where you are? And you know there are some things you want to do for God, but maybe the voices are saying you can't. Or how can you? Or why should you? And as young people, we have all these different voices around us. Or you have all these different voices around you. And yet I feel like God is just wanting to remind us that you can. Don't listen to the voices of fear, but focus on his word, focus on his truth. And he encouraged us, do not be afraid, for he is with you. He is with us. In this amazing story of Paul and Ananias, Ananias doesn't get a lot of attention. I've never really heard a sermon strictly on Ananias. I've heard many sermons and messages on Paul, because Paul is a pretty big figure for us as Christians and in the Bible. But Ananias specifically, in the Word of God, it says that when God asked him to go and to lay hands on Paul, so that his sight could be restored. Or before Paul, it was Saul. Ananias said, God, how could you ask me to do that? There's reports that this man is killing Christians. Anybody who comes in his vicinity, you're done. You're cooked. He's just going to take you and kill you or put you in jail. How is it that I could be the one to go and lay hands on him? You see, Ananias had a choice to either listen to all the reports that were around him of what other people were saying and what the reputation of Paul was, or listen to the voice of God, where he said, go. Saul is my chosen instrument. And it's pretty cool in the Bible. It says that when God said, go, Ananias went. The next verse, it says, then he went and he found Saul. See, Ananias dealt with a whole bunch of fear. And when it came time to choose either listening to his fear and his doubts or honor God and listen to God, he was obedient to what God wanted him to do. But we don't think about Ananias that much. What if Ananias gave in to his fear? Well, God would have probably just found somebody else to do it. But the point is, and the fact is, that Ananias chose to obey God and put all the fears aside. And he went and he restored Saul's sight. God used him to restore Saul's sight. Saul got water baptized. He gave his life to Christ. And well, we know the history, right? Of what Paul went on to do. And how many people he reached. And how he is a father of our faith, because so many churches were planted through Paul's ministry. And through his faithfulness to Jesus. And history has just continued where we are here today. But Paul had a big part of that. And Ananias had a big part in that. I just want to close by leaving you guys with three truths of how to overcome fear. Okay, we went through some of the things that are happening around us, even some of the pressures that you as young people experience. Well, how do we overcome fear? The first thing is this, is we need to stand firm with God. Okay, I'm just getting to know some of you, but my hope, my prayer, is that no matter how young you are, that at some point in your life, you've had an authentic encounter with God, where you know God personally, and He knows you personally. Because I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. Coming to church on Sunday is not the full extension of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is where everything starts and begins. And if you're here today and you don't know God personally, there's just a lack of desire, or there's a complacency, or there's a, you know, just I'm not as hungry for God as probably I should be. Then most likely Holy Spirit is revealing something that exists in your heart. And what may exist in our heart is complacency, a lack of desire, or it may actually reveal that we've just experienced religion. But we've never actually experienced Jesus Christ. And if we've experienced Jesus Christ and we've had an authentic encounter with him, just like Paul did, where he was going one way in his life and he encountered Christ and Christ turned him 180 degrees in the other direction and life was no longer about him or what he wanted. Life was no longer about what he could gain in this temporary world, but life was about how he could serve Jesus and how he could give his life for Christ. We need to stand firm with God. We need to have that relationship with God, where God is our number one priority, knowing God and spending time with God and growing in our relationship with God is our number one priority. The second truth is this, is we need to stand firm in truth. This Bible, I've been in ministry now for 20 years, and I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I've worked with young people throughout the majority of ministry, adults, elderly, overseas, here locally, praise God. That's not me boasting about anything that I've done. But the one thing that I can say about us as the Christian church is we don't know this book as well as we should. The Bible, we are meant to know this book as Christians, inside and out, from Genesis to Revelation. Everything in this book, its history, the historical context of Jesus' time, and history and everything that this book means and represents, it is our job and our responsibility as Christians to know it. And I've experienced it a lot of times in my journey as a Christian where sadly Muslims know the Bible better than some Christians. Other religions know the Bible better than Christians. It's not supposed to be like that. As Christians, we are supposed to know the Word of God better than anybody. And we've become very uneducated. We've become very ignorant when it comes to the Bible. We haven't invested a lot of time in knowing the Bible very well. And I'm just speaking for my experience. I don't know your guys' experience. I hope that you are committed to knowing the Bible inside and out. That you're committed to studying God's word and knowing what God has to say about your life and how you should be living your life. Because it's important. And it's only this word of God that is going to help us when we face the trials and the troubles and the challenges in life. I've seen many people's faith get destroyed because their life, their faith was built on a wrong foundation, where they expected certain things, and when those things didn't happen, they just totally gave up on God. But where did it come from? It came from a wrong understanding, a wrong foundation of what is true. We need to build our life, build our faith, build our foundation on the Word of God. So that no matter what we face in this life, we have a strong foundation that is rooted in Jesus Christ. And whether we face good times or we face bad times, it's only this word of God, the truth, that is going to help us get through it. Sadly, my sister here, she recognized that I brought a loaf of bread. Who here likes bread? Okay. I love bread. I probably eat too much of it. I shouldn't eat as much as I should. But who here knows anything about what the Bible says about bread?
It represents the body of Christ.
It represents the body of Christ? Awesome. Anybody else know what stories or any Bible verses in the Bible talk about bread? Jesus feeding the 5,000. Do you remember what the little boy had?
A couple pieces of bread, a couple pieces of apple, some fish.
Some fish. It's two or five. I think it was two, three, five. Two fish. Two fish, five pieces of bread. Right? Amazing story. Good answer. Kevin, right? Anybody else? Any other stories of in the Bible where you hear about bread that you can think of?
Not live by bread alone.
Amen. Love that one. Man shall not live by bread alone. Right? How about in the story of the Israelites when they left Egypt? God provided something supernaturally from heaven. It was called manna, which is like bread, right? Now in the New Testament, we have that story. God, well, Jesus, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's also a really cool statement that Jesus says. He says, I am the bread of life. Anyone who eats me will not be hungry anymore. But what is he saying? Can you eat Jesus? No, he's saying no. But anybody where Jesus genuinely lives in them and is consumed by Christ, there is no hunger for anything else other than Christ. So bread plays a very important role in Scripture and also in our life. But when we come to understand, okay, what does it mean to stand firm in truth? This is kind of what we're used to as Christians, right? We come to church on Sunday and you hear my message today or God's message that he's giving to you, and this becomes our bread, right? Give you a little piece of bread. We can go take your bread for the day. Here's your bread. That's your word of God. Here's your bread. Okay, everybody likes a little piece of bread. I'm just going to break off a few more here. You get some bread. You get your bread. Okay, you get some bread. Here you go. Here you go, sister. Everybody here? Grace? Yep. You look hungry. Okay, here. There's some bread. Sir, here you go. Some bread there. All done. And last, you're full. Okay, he's full of the word of God. Here's some bread. Okay, this is kind of what we do in the church is we all get our feeding. Right? Now, how many of you think, based on that piece of bread that I just gave you, it's your feeding for today, feeding of God's word? How many of you think that that piece of bread will sustain you all throughout the week until next Sunday? If that was the only thing you were to eat all week, how many of you think it would sustain you and keep you going? None of us think that, right? But this is sometimes what we kind of get caught up in, or we get distracted with, is that this piece of bread, this message becomes our feeding for the week. And many of us, we go our entire week without spending any real time in the Bible or in the truth or in the Word of God. And then we come back the next Sunday and we get our feeding for that day, for that week. And then we come back the following Sunday and we get a little bit more feeding. But many of us are not taking time or taking the responsibility or owning the responsibility to feed ourselves throughout the week. We're depending too much on the pastor or the leader to give us the feeding. But what Jesus says is actually healthy is that if you take your feeding, okay, on Sunday, okay, and you get a whole good feeding of bread, okay? A whole slice of bread. And what you do now is this becomes your substance of feeding, not just on Sunday, but all throughout the week, you're feeding. And how many of you guys think that if we are, as a church, feeding on God's word, not just on Sunday, but all throughout the week, how many of us think That will sustain us. That will make us strong. That will give us the life that we need. Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying that you don't or you do, but the point is this, is that God wants His truth to become a regular part of our feeding, a regular part of our spiritual diet, our spiritual appetite. Just like we need regular food, we also need the Word of God. And in actuality, it's the Word of God that is going to help sustain us, no matter what we face in life, no matter what fears or situations or circumstances come our way. It is God's Word, it is God's truth that is going to sustain us. But we need to be feeding on it regularly, daily, not just once a week. I was guilty of that as a young person in my youth group. I just thought, hey, I just go listen to the pastor on Friday nights or Sunday mornings. I'm good. That's my feeding. No. Relationship is I spend time with God. This becomes a hunger for me, where I want to be with God. I want to know His Word. I want to spend time with Him in His Word. And as we feed on His Word and truth, it grows us, it develops us, it nourishes us, it sustains us for everything that we need in life. So we need to stand firm in truth. And I put this picture here for a reason. God's truth. Okay, there are many versions of the truth out there. YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, it's full of different variations of what is true. And we need to be careful what type of truth we're listening to. God's truth is the absolute truth. There are no other variations of truth. There's so many different messages out there. But God's truth needs to be the central truth that we are filling our lives with. Okay, the last truth of how we overcome fear is we stand firm for the gospel. So number one, if you leave with anything today, you stand firm with God. It's an authentic relationship that we have with Him. Number two, we stand firm in truth. And number three is we stand firm for the gospel. Okay, and this is probably the hardest thing to do as a leader in the church, is to encourage people to go into your school, go into your workplace, and be bold for Jesus Christ. In a culture where people hate the word Jesus Christ, where people hate what Jesus Christ was about, where people are redefining what it means to be male and female, and redefining what it means to be married, and redefining a lot of God's word. Schools are very opposed to God. Workplaces are very opposed to God. I speak about that firsthand. I work in an environment with Toronto police officers who are not about God. But we need to stand firm for the gospel. There are different fears and feelings of fears that come with standing up for our faith. But we are called to be bold. We're not called to do this alone. The early church always spent time praying for each other. That, hey, as you go out this week, be bold. Be courageous for Jesus. Stand firm for Him. Stand firm for the gospel. Don't worry about what people will say or what they will think. Because we need to be getting this message out if we really believe that this message has life. and has power and has the ability to change people's lives. Because there's more that is at stake than just this life, right? It's people's souls. It's people's eternity. And here's the cool thing about it. Is your leaders and your pastors are not coming to your school to tell your friends about Jesus. I definitely will not do that unless you ask me to. Then out of respect and love for you, I will. But the Bible is very clear. It is our job as pastors and leaders to equip you to take the Word of God to your school and to your workplaces, to encourage you to go out into the world and tell people about Jesus. But here's the question. How faithful are we doing with this? How faithful are we with standing firm for the gospel? Or do you just fit in with everybody else? And when conversations of Jesus come up, we kind of back down, we kind of, you know, leave the room, we kind of don't want to talk about it. Or are we willing to be bold for Jesus Christ? This is how God will grow us in our ability to overcome fear. We need to stand firm for the gospel. We need to stand firm for Jesus Christ. And that comes with time, that comes with practice, that comes with proper equipping, proper training in the Word of God. But it's something that God wants us to do. I will close with this Bible verse. It's a powerful Bible verse, but it's very simple. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Okay, so as young people and older people, what's the spirit that God has given us? It's not fear. It's not timidity. It's a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. What self-discipline means, it's a sound mind. That there is peace in our mind. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He gives us power and the love to do the things that God wants us to do. He hasn't given us fear or timidity. Okay, so as you guys leave, I hope I can get to know more about what your weeks look like. But wherever you go this week, be encouraged that you have a huge amount of power, love, and a sound mind. If you are here today and you are a Christian and you are a son or daughter of God, you have power, you have love. There is nothing that we need to fear or be afraid of. And Jesus was constantly encouraging his disciples, "Do not be afraid, fear not." And he encourages us with that same message, "Do not be afraid, fear not." We can be bold, we can be courageous as his church and as his people. Okay? Let's just bow our heads and we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. The Bible says that your word goes out, it will not return void. And so, Father, your word, for some of us, it will challenge us. It will lead us into a place of deeper reverence and greater commitment to you, God. And for others, maybe we will choose to disregard your word today. Either way, your word does not return void. Your word has gone out, seeds have been planted, and now, God, I ask that you would water those seeds in the heart that desires to receive it authentically. May you grow these seeds of truth, that we need not to fear anything in this world or anything in this life. But God, you have made us to be bold. You've made us to be courageous. You've made us to be full of your power and your love. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray against every attack of fear and timidity in our life. And I just pray, God, that your peace that passes all understanding would cover us, would fill us. And God, I just pray that we would know your word. Even this week, God, may we hunger for your word. May we desire to know you more and know your word better. And I pray that you would help us to grow, to become the disciples of Jesus Christ that you want us to be. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.